Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh! Let him play!
You bet one bone to win 19. What site do you use where you can actually bet $1?
They let you do 50-cent bets.
Oh my goodness, Greg.
Yeah, literally, like, he dropped Superman down, like, the drain, comes out. Like, God damn it, Superman. I don't know, honey. I don't know where he got that from.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City.
Part of the DITCOW Sports Network.
Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the Big Football Show. Good to have you with us from the Dave in the City studios at the home of champions, Southern California. We're glad that you were able to tune in yesterday on the podcast feed for our NBA season preview with Chris and Georgia. And if you missed it, it's over on DITCOW.com and also available on your podcast app of choice. And if you missed it, if you're trying to find a link, the link is also on our Twitter at DITCOW. We went into a very comprehensive preview of all the teams in the NBA, the ones that matter. And then we even got into some city jerseys near the end of our coverage yesterday. So I hope you enjoyed it. If you didn't, check it out. It's a lot of fun. Tonight, we get into football again. We will not be joined by Andy in Seattle on the air. He's sending the picks via the text. And I don't know what the scenario is with Ron. I should message. He just texted me. So, let's go. I think Ron will join us here. So we'll usher him in when it's time. With that, we start our next season or next week of football picks. And we have a really exciting contest. It is going to be a really fun show because we've got such a great contest brewing. Three guys, you know, within 5 points of the lead. We'll show you what that's all about momentarily. And as I mentioned, we should have John with us on the air. Ron is going to join us in just a moment. And our guest picker tonight is Kristen Syracuse, who, as you all know, is a savant of the college basketball game. And he's got a little dabbling in some football, too. So we'll have some fun tonight with all the scenarios. So we're ready to go. Got a lot on the line. They just made an exception to bring in Ohio State into the mix with the Big Ten championship game. And we had to flex in the NFL, which is going to cause some more nonsense, but it does at least get people out of another Cowboys game in prime time. Let's hit it! Football picks week 14. I want to go through this quickly because there's a lot of cool stuff to break down here in our summary. Take a look at what happened last week in our panel. We had a great week. It was a tremendous week for everybody. You had Ron with the best record last week going a blistering, you know, I should have waited till he got on the air for this part, but he was a blistering 4-0 last week, a perfect record for week 13 with 8 points. And Andy was just behind him at 3-1 going, finishing with 6 points. I, Dave, was in third place, tied with John. Both of us were 2-2 for 4 points. And Robert's guest picks were also 2-2 for the 4 points. And the key note, we all killed it with that Patriots pick. Good job out of all of us. That was a good job. That was really wild. So let's look at... So that's basically it. You know, I guess I mentioned the season standings have three guys within 5 points. Ron is in first place at 52 points, catapulting over myself. And I'm going to let Ron back in here. All right. Let's see if Ron can see the feed. I actually want to go back to that slide because I got to show everybody... I got to show him... that right there. Ron, look at that. 4-0. Tremendous job out of you. That is just outstanding. Really great. Not the first time he went 4-0 this year, I don't believe. But still, that's awesome. And I guess it came at a good time for him. So back to the standings. Ron is in first at 52 points. I'm in second with 51 points. John is in third with 47 points. Right there. And Andy is behind him at 41 points in last place. Guest picks are 18 and 28 for 36 points so far this season. That basically sums it up. It has been quite a contest for the regulars this year. And with that all on the table, let's go ahead and introduce our guests. And we will start with a guy who is in first place. Although I had a little moment in the sun for a couple weeks, but man, 4-0 gets you right back. Ron, good to have you back. How's it going tonight?
Hey, Dave, how's it going? I got finally had a bounce back week, man. I was struggling for a while there.
Yeah, I know. I was sad on your behalf for the like last week. It was like, oh man, Ron,
awful.
Yeah, but but no, this is how you bounce back. That's a tremendous job out of you. I saw the picks. It was a great job out of you. So well done. All right, let's bring in John to the program as well. John, welcome back. How's it going tonight?
Doing well, Dave. Good to see everybody. Yeah, it's always good when it's bound to happen. Everyone's going to have a bad week or two on the season. It's just inevitable. I mean, it's an oblong ball and just bounces crazy ways. And just bad luck happens sometimes. But you can rebound the next week with a good, solid week. You feel good about yourself and you can move on. So I'm glad everyone rebounded from that one horrible week we all had and are doing pretty well overall in the season for these picks. So. Hope to keep it going here the next few weeks.
Without question. And we have 2 weeks left in our contest. I realize that it's only going to be 15 weeks this year because some of these sports, I think things started a little later. So I think we can, with it being so close, we're going to have a really strong finish. And, you know, picking bulls, I'm kind of glad we're not doing that this year because I don't even know what bulls are going to be played. We'll get into that later. So let's get our guest picker on the program, and we say hello to our friend Chris in Syracuse. How's it going, Chris? Wait, I think I have to ask him to unmute. So 1 second here. There we go.
There we go. Hey. Oh, no, just commenting on how you got to love when the last 6.5 seconds of a college basketball game takes about 12 minutes. But good to see everybody. Glad to be on. You're all doing very well, it looks like. Hopefully I can provide some picks for that guest spot and get them rebounded a little bit.
Well, hopefully. I mean, you've done a pretty good job doing guest picks in the past. They were written in the past, so it's good. It's cool to have you on the air for this edition. So it should be a good time. I mean, a lot of value out there this week. I counted 10 home underdogs in the NFL this weekend. That's a lot. So more on that coming up. But first, let's get a recap of last week's action. And let me go to, who do I go to? Yeah, let's go to John. John, there have been some real surprises in this week. You know, the Jets took the Raiders to the brink. You had the Steelers losing their first game for the first game on Monday night against the Washington football team. Not that big a surprise to me, but a lot of people felt like it was a shock. And we had a pretty... And the Packers did their thing. The Bills did their thing. I'm trying to remember what else. The Patriots that we just talked about. Man, what a good call by all of us. I mean, the Patriots just killed the Chargers 45-0. So there's a lot to talk about, John. I'll give it to you for the recap.
Yeah, this is one of the best witching hours of the year if you follow the games on the Red Zone channel. I mean, at one point they had the quad box at the end of, like, there's like four games ending at the same time. You had the Colts and Texans. The Texans were going in for what would be the go-ahead touchdown, and that would have gave them the win, cover, and put the game over. And Deshaun Watson, there was a fumble on the goal line, and the Colts end up hanging on for that win. You obviously had the scenario with the Jets where you can't make it up. You know, the Raiders get stopped. You think the game's over. They somehow get the ball back for another, honestly, a miracle finish, and that's exactly what happened. You know, Carr overthrows Ruggs on one play when he was completely wide open, and then on the very next play, they do the same thing again. The Jets are in single coverage blitzing when it's, you know, the Raiders need a touchdown from 50 yards away, and Ruggs just burns the corner, and, you know, they get the touchdown, and, you know, You have some people out there. I'm sure some Jets fans are actually really happy that that happened and they lost. But Ron, I'm sure you were thrilled with that outcome, right?
I was running around the house like they won the Super Bowl.
I figured as much. I saw some.
Yeah,
tweets.
I mean, it's almost like Greg Williams was just like, "Fuck it, let's help. Let's let's help these guys get the number one pick. I don't give a shit if I lose my job. And, you know, he was the ball guy for it. But there's no other reason to play that coverage there. You usually in that situation, you see what, like, you see eight defensive backs down by the goal line, and this guy's playing cover three with 3 seconds left and blitzing eight guys. Like, it just makes no sense whatsoever. But that was just so bizarre. And then, you know, you had the Bears-Lions game. I know Andy was really upset about that one. The Bears were up 10 with, like, 4 minutes left. The Lions got to stop, go down, and get a touchdown. And then for whatever reason, the Bears are passing on their own 10-yard line, and Trubisky gets sacked, fumbles, and the Bears and the Lions score and end up winning. And then you have the Jacksonville-Minnesota game that went into overtime, and the Vikings pulled that one out. So that early window of games, I mean, lots of twists and turns. Oh, and then the Falcons, too. I mean, if the Falcons ever had a red zone offense, they might have been in the playoff hunt. Like, every single week, they're just kicking field goal after field goal after field goal. And they had a shot there against the Saints, and they get down to second and two on the 10-yard line. And then, you know, the Saints have one of the best run defenses in the league, and they try to, you know, jam Todd Gurley into the line, and they lose, like, 6 yards on consecutive plays. And they can't convert on fourth down, and the Saints win the game and hang on to the one seed for now. So, yeah, so that early window was just full of action. Late window, not as much. I mean, they give credit to the Giants. Just an incredibly impressive win in Seattle with Colt McCoy. Honestly, I had no idea he was still in the league, to be honest with you. And he really didn't do much. I think he only threw for 100 yards. But, you know, their defense was excellent, and they just pressured Wilson all day long. Their offensive line was terrible. And the Giants got a huge win, and, you know, it – all, you know, the NFC East now, all of a sudden, it's a two-team race now between the Giants and Washington. The Cowboys and Eagles are dumb. So just get rid of them. And I think the NFL saw that, too, because they actually, I think for the first time in the history of the NFL, they hand-waved the Cowboys out of Sunday Night Football, out of flex them right out for the Giants and Browns next week. And then, yeah, Dave, you mentioned the Steelers losing to Washington. I mean, the Steelers' offense had not been very good at all lately, so this was, you could kind of see this coming. They've been flirting with danger here for a while, but honestly, is it really the worst thing in the world to get a loss kind of off your back at this point? I mean, it would just be a lot of pressure if they somehow won all these games and, you know, head into the playoffs undefeated. But I kind of was selfishly hoping they would win that game by three so we could get a better line to take Buffalo this week. But alas, we can't always get what we want. But so yeah, it was a really entertaining Sunday, and one of the better ones we've had in a while. So the Red Zone Channel certainly delivered this week.
Yeah, it really did. It was a lot of fun. I mean, definitely some shots heard around the world. The Giants win was very impressive. I think they've been playing better anyway, so I noticed that their defense has been a big key component. And to do that with Colt McCoy, I mean, look, I didn't see that coming. That's tremendous. I mean, I thought maybe they'd keep it close. I didn't think they'd win outright in Seattle, so that is a great job out of them. Ron, let's go to you. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
It just seemed like the Jets fans were just like, you just in, they're like doing a big, they were just going ham after that Henry Ruggs touchdown. Like,
you know, it's so difficult to be a Jets fan, Dave, because you're literally rooting for your team to lose, and that's always a hard thing to do. But the situation that, you know, obviously you're put in is, I don't think there's any Jet fan who likes Adam Gase. I mean, he's just, on top of being an awful coach, he's just an unlikable guy. So you want to see a coaching change there, and you want the opportunity to get a Trevor Lawrence. I mean, we've seen enough of Sam Darnold. He's, you know, put him on another team, give him a year to rest, and maybe he comes back and he's a legit player. But it's time to move on. So you want that opportunity to get Trevor Lawrence. So Sunday's game was, you know, that whole, like John said, the witching hour was, you know, off the charts. You had Tennessee and Cleveland. You had Chicago and Detroit. Like, these games just going, these comebacks, these back and forth games. And me, I'm paying attention to the Jets and Raiders and the Jaguars and Vikings because I selfishly want the Jets to get the first pick. So the ending of that game was just, you know, if you watched it, the play before the Hail Mary, Carr tried the same thing to throw to Ruggs, and they missed it by like a yard. So, you know, I'm like sitting there, you know, punching the couch, like, Jesus Christ, it was so close. That'll never happen again. And then the very next play, they run it again, and the Jets go all out blitz, which, you know, to his credit, Greg Williams has called that before in the same situation. And sometimes it's worked, but he's also leaving corners to go one-on-one with Henry Ruggs. And the corner that the Jets were playing against him was an undrafted free agent. So, I mean, it's just it was an awful call. No way around it. Awful play. But I, like I said, I was going nuts. yeah, anything to make Adam Gase look bad, the Jets look bad, and to secure that number one pick, I'm all in for now. There's no reason there's no feeling good about a random win in December against the Raiders. Do I want to see them? Is there any difference for me for them going 1-15 or 0-16? Absolutely not. Makes no difference to me. Just get Trevor Lawrence and get a new coach, start over. That's all I'm asking for. That's all I want for Christmas this year is the Adam Gase fired and Trevor Lawrence. That's it. But, you know, at the same time I'm watching the Jet game, the Jaguars come back and tie they score a touchdown and get a two-point conversion in the last minute to tie the Vikings. So I'm going nuts with that game, you know, thinking even if the Jets, you know, pull it out, maybe the Jaguars will win. But alas, that didn't happen. But, it, you know, as sad as it sounds, that was probably the most exciting afternoon of NFL football that I've had this year to root for my own team to lose, which is it's just a sad, sad scenario. But it's the reality of the situation. And besides that, like, yeah, John hit the nail on the head. The two teams, like, the NFC East, I mean, if we talked like a month ago about the you know, Washington and the Giants, you know, we were probably busting on them and laughing. And both teams have turned it around, and it's with their defense. And, you know, Washington, you know, they look legit the past couple of weeks. Not, you know, Alex Smith is okay, but the defense is really carrying them. And they have, you know, a bunch of pieces on that defense that, you know, could carry them for the rest of the year. And the Giants, you know, we kill Dave Gettleman all the time, and for good reason, but and Daniel Jones too. But you got to give Joe Judge credit. He's, you know, he's taken this roster that has a lot of holes, and he's got them playing hard every week. They're in almost every single game. And, you know, it takes a lot to go up to Seattle and beat the Seahawks and make Russell Wilson basically ineffective, and that's what they did. So credit to them. And you know, it was definitely one of the funner weeks of football this year, at least for me.
No, I feel it. You know, and it was that was not only a big quote unquote win for the Jets, it was also a big win for the Raiders too, because the Raiders need that win for their playoff hopes. So not surprisingly, the Jets fired
Greg Williams.
Thank you. After the day after that happened, which is incredibly sheeran at this point. Like, I don't really see the point of that. Like, why?
I think it's just, I don't even know if it's to save face, because, like you said, I mean, it makes no difference. I don't know what the point of it is. You know, I know Adam Gase probably had some hand in it. But at this point in the year, it actually – the one unit of on the Jets that actually plays hard is the defense. So it actually contributes them to probably losing the rest of the way. So, yeah, I have no problem with it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that does help in the long in the medium run here.
Yeah.
Well,
Dave, before you go on to Chris, I'm going to ask Ron. I've seen a couple names floated around the internet today for the Jets' next head
Don't
coach.
Say
I saw Marvin Lewis was the first name that I just, you know, and you have all these NFL insider types defending him. Oh, look what he did at Cincinnati before and after. It's just, that would just, I like, you just have to hide yourself as a Jets fan for the next 3 years. It'd be just like the same thing as Adam Gase. So what would you think about that? And then the second name I'll throw out there is Jim Harbaugh. I would want nothing to do with him personally. But I don't know, because they're talking about him taking a pay cut at Michigan. Like, is he really going to take a pay cut? I don't know. That's strange to me.
You know what scares me about Marvin Lewis is that the guy who started the rumors, Daniel Jeremiah, who happens to be very close to Joe Douglas, and you know, who a lot of people thought Joe Douglas was going to bring into the front office. So that scares that scares the hell out of me. I mean, at this point, and listen, I don't want, you know, Adam Gase has numbed me to any possible coaching candidate that there could be, but I would want anybody else besides Marvin Lewis. And I think I might actually want Marvin Lewis more than Jim Harbaugh. I don't want Jim Harbaugh near anybody.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
He just seems like he's like just lost his, I don't know.
He completely lost whatever edge he had ever since that play where it was his first year at Michigan when they had the first down against Ohio State and they should have won the game. Yeah. Ever since then, like, it's just been completely just flat, like going nowhere at Michigan.
Yeah.
And he's just lost whatever edge he's had.
I agree. And I'm scared because the Woody Johnson is definitely going to make a big splash, I think. I'd rather a guy like Joe Brady, somebody who, you know, with Trevor Lawrence is going to be like a new age guy, you know, help him grow. And I have a feeling he's probably going to hire somebody like Jim Harbaugh, you know, somebody like that just for a name recognition. But, you know, I'll talk myself into it because anybody's better than Adam Gase.
Yeah, I mean, that's as bad as it gets with Adam Gase. But he's serving the purpose this year, you know? So
yeah, it's a genius move to keep him this
long. That's one way to put it, for sure. Well, thanks for the recap, Ron. Let's go over to Chris in Syracuse now, and let's get you a recap of last week's action.
Well, I don't know how much more there is to say with, you know, some great games in the afternoon. I was intently watching the Vikings score, the Vikings-Jags game, because of an over scenario. This was my horror story of the week, I guess you could say. I'm watching it. I'm leaving work. It's going into overtime. I'm driving down to the casino to place more bets. And it's like, I need 51.5. It's like, okay, it's just somebody score a touchdown in overtime. I'm in the parking lot. Okay, they're down to the one. It's first and goal, second and goal, whatever. Just hand it to Cook. Turn around, hand it to Cook. He'll go in. They win, I win, everybody wins. I go in there, they're lining up for a field goal, leaving me a half a point short. I didn't even see the false start penalty that got them there. I'm going, are you kidding me? Really? After all that, all you had to do was turn around and hand it to Dalvin Cook. But, yeah, a lot of great games. Man, I don't know what's up with Seattle. I mean, you can point to the offensive line, but something's not right there. If you're losing to a Colt McCoy-led Giants team, there is definitely something wrong with that situation. And I don't know what it's going to take to correct that. Likewise, one of my early, you know, one of the early teams I liked was Arizona. And, you know, they're looking a little sad lately. And I don't know, maybe they were just overachieving early or what, but not a good look the past couple weeks.
Right. Oh, was that it? Okay. The Cardinals have lost three in a row now. So it's kind of a tough spot. But, I mean, all in all, it was quite a week. And from that, we can go into our look ahead. And let's take a look at the featured games this week. And, you know, we had a good week for sure, like in last week's action. This week, wait a second. I guess we do that. That's right. I totally forgot. We do the picks first. Okay, so let's do the picks in that case. And, Ron, you are the leader at this point. So you have the honor of being the first in the T-box, Aaron. So I'm ready for your picks when you are.
All right, pick number one, I'm taking the Vikings on the road, +6.5 against the Bucks. Could easily see the Bucks winning that one, but they're one of those teams who started off hot this year and have looked a little lifeless over the past month or so. And the opposite for the Vikings. I mean, I know they got into a dogfight with the Jaguars, but, you know, 6.5 is a big number to lay for a team with Dalvin Cook and a healthy Adam Thielen. So I'll take the Vikings +6.5. And my second pick, I'm going to go, and sorry in advance, Dave, but I'm going to go the Bills -2.5 against the Steelers. Steelers look like maybe, you know, and maybe it's a jump in the gun and, you know, drawing too many conclusions off of the past couple games, but the Bills are legit. They look legit, and the Steelers look like they've lost a little bit of their mojo, especially on offense. And I don't know, you know, they've been jerked around so much with the scheduling and stuff like that. You know, I have a feeling they come out flat again, and the Bills are a good team, so I'm going to take the Bills -2.5 against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's interesting that the Bills are giving 2.5. That line changed a lot. And it's literally based on the results of that game against Washington that the Steelers played. They were getting 2.5. Then they lose outright to a Washington team who, by the way, like you guys were saying, their defense is pretty good, so that's not even that bad a team. But it's still a bad loss. It's a bad loss. So that's a big point movement for that game. But I'm not arguing with your pick. I think it's a good pick. So anyway, thanks for that and good luck. Thanks for your picks. All right. Let's go now to Andy's picks. And here they are. Now, honestly, I think we're going to have some popular picks on this program this week from the NFL. We're going to start with Andy's first pick. And they are... Here we go. He starts with the Patriots getting 5 at the Rams on Thursday Night Football. We loved the Patriots a week ago in the Battle of Wits. And it was a battle of wits versus a witless one in Anthony Lynn. That was an easy cover for everybody who had the Patriots. Now, the Rams are not going to be that overmatched coaching-wise. I mean, Sean McVay is pretty good. But in a meeting of these two teams that is the first of such since the Super Bowl in the 2018 season, the Sean McVay, nonetheless, I think is going to get out-schemed here by Bill Belichick. And certainly the defense had really screwed up Jared Goff, so Andy's feeling the same way that I think I am on this game, so he goes Patriots +5. And game number two for Andy is going to be a checker on a checker with Ron's pick of Bills -2.5 against the Steelers. So Patriots getting 5 and Bills giving 2.5 for Andy in Seattle, week 14. All right. And now let's quickly go to my picks. Here they come. I will go checker with Andy's pick of Patriots +5. I love it. I think a little worried about it because it almost seems like a square pick at this point because it seems like that's the sentiment from a lot of people picking this game. But the Patriots have been in LA the entire week. In fact, they went out, they played, and they dominated the Chargers. But they just stayed in LA the whole time. And only a couple days later, they're going to be here playing the Rams. And I really think that Bill always has a plan against Jared Goff, and Goff is just not a good quarterback, and he's a bit of a spaz. Like, he's not very smart, he can't seem to read defenses, and he makes a lot of stupid throws. So I just see the Patriots eating him up from that. I know the Patriot defense isn't that good. I mean, Cam only threw for 70 yards in that game, and even though they won 45-0, he only threw for 70 passing yards. Not very impressive, but the defense will win the day, and I think the Patriots will take it. Game two. This is a really good example of what you do when a team has a huge performance the week before. You fade the shit out of that team. The Browns, give them credit, they crushed Tennessee, well, for like 3 quarters, and then the Tennessee started to come back on them in the fourth quarter. They scored like way over 40 points, and I feel like there's going to be an enormous letdown even at home against the Ravens. And so I'll take the Ravens giving a point in this Monday night matchup against Cleveland. So my picks are Patriots +5 and Ravens -1 for week 14. All right, so now to John in Connecticut. And when you're ready, we are ready for your picks.
All right, Dave, I'll make my first pick quick and easy. Triple checker on a checker. I'll take the Bills, -2.5. As I mentioned earlier, I was kind of hoping that the Steelers would have won that game the other night by 3, because then you might have gotten Steelers -1 or Steelers -2. I saw, like you said, the spread open -1 or -2. And obviously they lost, and we don't have the value on that, because then the Bills won the game right after in the point spread flip. But, you know, it's still within that range of, you know, almost a pick 'em. I mean, not many NFL games are decided by 1 or 2 points, so we'll still take it at the 2.5. But, you know, as I mentioned before, I mean, the Steelers' offense has just not been performing well at all lately. I mean, it was such a struggle just to watch them try to go down the field. It was just like dinking and dunking the whole time. There was no explosiveness. They had no running game. Their defense is good. I mean, don't get me wrong. Their defense is one of the better ones in the NFL, but just you can only hold up so long when your offense isn't really doing anything. And they made, you know, Ben kind of forces it in there sometimes, and that's what happened the other night. He made that one interception was the difference at the end of the game. And, you know, now you're facing a Bills team that their offense is just rolling right now. You saw Josh Allen the other night. He just turned into a complete quarterback from what he was in his first year. I think he was like 50% completion percentage, and now he's, you know, close to 65 or 70%. I mean, their offense is just great. And I just think they're playing better right now. And they usually don't get the primetime spotlight. And I think, you know, you're only laying under a field goal. So we'll take the Bills -2.5 for the first pick. For the second game, I don't like going head-to-head with Ron's pick. He's been on fire, but I like the Bucs in this game. So I'm going to take them -6.5. They're coming off a bye week. It was, you know, obviously a late bye week. They haven't week 12, but I think that was huge for them to get a week off and to kind of recharge for the stretch run here. The one thing about the Vikings, right, they played their last three games at home. Look who they played. They lost to the Cowboys, and then they barely beat the Panthers and the Jags. I mean, I just don't think the Vikings are that good of a team. I mean, I know they won in Green Bay, but that was a weird game. There's lots of wind, and their running game kind of controlled the game. There wasn't many possessions, but the Bucs have one of the best run defenses in the NFL. So I can see a scenario here where the Vikings, they want to come in and be run heavy. So they're going to go to Cook on like first down and get like 2 yards. And then they're going to go to Cook again and get like 1 yard. So it's going to be 3rd and 7 in every possession. And the Bucs are just going to blitz the shit out of Cousins. And that's when he's going to make some mistakes. Unless the Vikings come in like out of a shotgun, like 5-wide formation. That's probably their smart game plan. But I don't know if they want to do that. I don't know if they trust Cousins. So I think that's going to give them some problems. And then on the other side of the ball, the Vikings' pass defense is absolutely dreadful. And I think Brady and Evans and Godwin are just going to eat. And I could see this game being like 35-21 Bucs. So I like them a lot in this game. So give me Tampa -6.5 and Buffalo -2.5 for everybody else for the Week 14 picks.
And I will tell you the truth here. If the Steelers won that game against Washington, that was going to be a quadruple checker on a checker. Because I know you guys would still have picked the Bills in that scenario. And I would have too. Because that would have been like, they are beyond due for a loss at that point. So that's what makes that so interesting, because it really did hinge on what happened in the Washington game. But I see no argument against that pick. So for me, I think I'll just stay away. We'll see what happens. But the Bills look like they're going to be in a good spot. Let's go to our guest picker. And that would be Chris in Syracuse on the air tonight with us. And Chris, we're ready for your NFL picks.
All right, we're going to go a little bit different here. First pick, we're going to take the Houston Texans -1.5 at Chicago. Chicago is floundering. They've lost their last 6 games, 5 of them where they count. I'm not saying Houston's great, but Chicago is just a mess right now. The quarterback situation's a mess. The coach is a spaz. The coach's rear end is getting hot. Lots of questions being asked. It's just not conducive for them to be winning a game right now. So I'm taking Houston. Game 2. We are going to go with the Washington football team. +3 over San Francisco, playing in Glendale. San Francisco's orphaned. They are, I believe, also 1 for their last 6 where it counts, and 1 for the last 5 where it counts, and 1 for the last 5 overall, straight up. Washington is on a rise. Also,
You have the fact that San Francisco is orphaned right now. They're not at home. They're not going home. They can't play at home due to the scenarios up there. Again, I just think that Washington is ascending right now. Has a chance, you know, they're looking at a playoff berth, something to play for. And so we're going with the Washington football team.
All right. Thanks very much, Chris. And everybody, good luck to your NFL picks. Very good. Very good stuff. I think one that I would nominate is the I think I'm very interested in it. I wonder what's going to happen with the Raiders at home. Because remember we were talking about last week how they play better as an underdog? Well, the Colts are coming to town in Vegas, and the Raiders are getting a field goal home, and I am very interested to see what happens with that game. So that's a convenient segue to our featured games. And you kind of heard from John's recap, John's picks, that he's leaning the over in the Bucks-Vikings game, and I think that makes sense. I don't have that on here. I probably should, but I never really think much of the Vikings. I guess that's why. But the rest of these featured games, Patriots-Rams, that'll be a fun game. I mean, maybe. It is going to be ugly, but I'm going to have fun with the clown car show over there in L.A. Chiefs-Dolphins. I put this up here because I think that this could be a sneaky game. The Chiefs really haven't been playing that great. Have you noticed that? Like, they were really, really slow to beat the Denver Broncos at Arrowhead. I didn't think they had their A game at all. So I wonder if the Dolphins might sneak up on these guys in Miami Gardens. Colts Raiders, I mentioned that already. I don't know. I mean, the Colts, during most of the season, people were saying they had a great defense, but all of the Colt games have had like over 50 points in recent weeks, so I'm not really sure. Steelers, Bills, we talked about that. Ravens, Browns, we talked about that too. So let's give it to the panel to break down the games of the week. Certainly an interesting slate, certainly, and a lot of underdogs at home. I wonder if we might have some big upsets this weekend. Ron, I'll give it to you first for the look at this week's action.
I guess the games that at this point in the season where you're watching to see what can impact the playoffs. You got the games up there. The Chiefs Dolphins right now, they're two playoff teams. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how, Tua plays against the Chiefs. Because I have a feeling, and the Dolphins defense is legit, really legit. But if the Chiefs get up early on the Dolphins, I mean, that game's over. I just don't have any faith in Tua or the Dolphins offense being able to keep up with the Chiefs. So they got to grind it out and make that game close. Besides that game, like you said, Colts and the Raiders right now is for a playoff spot. You're 100% right, Dave. Like, the Colts defense was hyped up the entire beginning of the season. And over the past couple of weeks, you've just seen it like deteriorate. And the Raiders are home dog to me, they're playable. That's a live pick. I mean, that's as good a shot as any to take. You know, that would have been my my other pick if we had three. So I like the Raiders to win outright, to be honest with you, against the Colts. You have actually the Cardinals and Giants. Another game with playoff implications, and Kyler Murray, I know he hurt his shoulder, and that's really hindered the Cardinals offense the past few weeks. So you wonder if every time the Giants, I hate to kill the Giants, but every time the Giants go on one of these runs, it always seems like, you know, when they start to get hot, things break their way. And that's, you know, they played the Bengals 2 weeks ago with Joe Burrow hurt. Last week they played the Seahawks. They beat them. Kudos to them. They're playing a banged up Kyler Murray this week. Let's see if they can keep it going, if the defense can keep it going and hold them in check. So that's another game to watch. Who else is out there? I think the Bills Steelers game is going to be really interesting to watch. We covered that, and one other game that I think that's that's on my radar at least, and not in terms of like, you know, any big implications or anything, is Saints and Eagles, because you're going to have, and who would have thought this if we said at the beginning of the year we're going to you know, watch the Saints and Eagles with Taysom Hill versus Jalen Hurts. I mean, just unreal. But it'll be interesting to see how Hurts plays. I've never been a Hurts guy. You know, I thought taking him in the second round was way too early, especially with Wentz. And listen, I know Wentz looks like he's shot. So it'll be interesting to see how he actually plays against a real NFL defense. And the Saints have a good defense. So it's not like they're throwing him out there against the Cowboys or something like that. So that game will definitely be one where I'll keep my eye on and be interested to see how that plays out.
Yeah. It was definitely in consideration for that list. I do think that the Saints got to be careful not to overlook the Eagles. And it would be very easy to do this right now because everyone's piling on the Eagles. But they were doing that with Wentz. With Hurts, it's going to be a different dynamic. So I'm curious on that one, too. Very good stuff. So let's go back to John and let's get your look at this week's action.
Yeah, interesting slate of games. I completely agree with that Raiders pick. It just seems like every year Gruden, they just lace a couple of eggs on the road, and they did it the last 2 weeks, and they got lucky. They won the game against the Jets, but, you know, at home they played very solid all year, and, you know, I think they'll beat the Colts. Yeah, I completely agree about the Colts defense. The Packers kind of exposed them a few weeks ago. They put up 30-something points, and it really should have been more. And, you know, I think, you know, the Raiders defense isn't very good either. So this could be a high scoring shootout. And I think the Raiders will probably end up on the right side of it. So I would agree with that. Lots of home dogs this week. You know, the Chiefs and Dolphins, I would agree that the Dolphins cannot get behind in this game because honestly, if Fitzpatrick was playing, I think they may be able to get into a shootout, but just the way they're playing with Tua right now, they're kind of just grinding out the game with their defense. And Miles Gaskin gave them a nice lift the other day coming back and for their running game. They're going to have to play ball control and, you know, kind of take the breaks that they can get against the Chiefs. I mean, the Chiefs offense is kind of exactly the same game plan that Denver had the other night. Just kind of keep them off the field, you know, run the ball and, you know, take advantage of the possessions that you get, really. So that game will be interesting. That's the Nance-Romo game is the Chiefs and Dolphins. So that one would be pretty good. The Saints and Eagles. I mean, Carson Wentz, he just completely lost it. And, you know, you see this from time to time. I mean, guys come into the league, they have a couple of good years, and then they just completely, just fall off the face of the earth in terms of, like, his mechanic. We talked about it last week. His mechanics are awful. The receivers can't get open. The offensive line is just horrendous. They're shuffling parts all over, and the play calling is terrible. The only thing that Hurts, I guess, has going for him is that he's a little more mobile than Wentz, and you saw it when he got in against the Packers. He had that one play that was a 4th-and-18 when they got the touchdown to kind of get back in the game a little bit against Green Bay. So he can move around a little bit. So I think that may be one small advantage he has. So we'll see. I think that's – honestly, I just looked at the over-under. That's 44. That just screams like an under to me. I mean, the Saints' offense hasn't been good at all lately. And then they have a great defense going against this disaster of a Philly offense, even though, you know, Hurts could give them a little bit of a spark. But I don't see this being more than what happened in Atlanta the other day when it was like, 21-17. That looks like an underplay for sure, in my opinion. Let me see. Yeah, we talked about the Sunday night game. Oh, yeah, tomorrow's game might be pretty ugly too in terms of a low-scoring game. I mean, the Patriots kind of lean on their defense, running game, and special teams. I mean, it's crazy. The Patriots won 45-0 the other day, and I think Cam Newton threw for under 100 yards. It just goes to show you how inept the Chargers were on special teams and coaching, and they just really confused Herbert, which we all talked about last week. That was, like you said, Dave, an easy pick if there ever was one. And the Rams are based on their defense too, so that should be a pretty – close, low-scoring game. I would tend to agree with the Patriots +5 and under on that. And I would, you know, and I think, as we said last week too, I think Kyler Murray is hurt. So I think the Giants, McCoy, it scares me again betting on him as the starting quarterback. I would feel much better with Jones taking the Giants this week because, I mean, I don't know if that kind of game, if he throws like for another 100 yards, I mean, the Cardinals could easily win like a 16-13 kind of game. I'd be a little worried about taking the Giants. I definitely would lean that way. Let me see some of the other games where there's big underdogs. I mean, The Packers are a 7.5-point favorite. I certainly would not lay that. I mean, this is probably the Lions Super Bowl. I mean, you're going to get everything they have in this game. So, you know, they always play the Packers tough in Detroit. I mean, last year, the Packers were going to clinch the number two seed, and the Lions were a dead team, and they basically were winning by 10 points at halftime. So, I would put Green Bay in like a teaser. If anyone does teasers, like I would buy that down to like 1.5. You know, I think the Packers will win, but I would not feel great laying 7.5 on the road there. The Titans laying 7.5 in Jacksonville. Again, the Jags have been covering lately. Other than that Steelers game, they've been cash cows as underdogs. I would probably lean to them as well, especially with how bad the Tennessee defense is. I could easily see that being like 31-28, kind of like their first meeting. So, that's pretty much a rundown of the games. And I guess in the clown cars crashing into each other matchup, you have the Falcons and the Chargers this week. So, oh boy, you have Anthony Lynn and Raheem Morris matching wits in that game. We'll see who comes out on top in that one. I don't know. That's a game that's a complete stay away. I think there's other options on the board this week. So, yeah, should be another fun week of games.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. That is, I don't even think it's worth betting the over or the under of that game. That have no clue. So let's go to Chris in Syracuse, and let's get your look at this week's action.
Well, I'm glad that we're here in week 14 and the Miami Dolphins are playing meaningful football games. That's a nice change. It's different. I don't know if that's a 2020 thing or whatever, but it might be because we're now flexing the Browns to prime time. So,
that's true.
I don't know if this is the end of days or what, but yeah, Patriots Rams, you're gonna have the, you know, the mastermind. He's trying to get a lot out of a little here, and he's going up against a very inconsistent Rams team, I guess, is maybe to put it politely. You know, you've mentioned Goff's shortcomings. Their running game isn't always in gear. Their defense is usually pretty good. So, you know, to John's point, that could be a little bit of a messy, low-scoring game. Patriots trying to grind it out, trying to mask just how bad Cam is these days. I agree that the game cannot get away from the Dolphins. It might, but I think you'll see, at least early, you'll see a big dose of Myles Gaskin trying to hold on to the ball and keep Patrick Mahomes in that high-octane offense off the field. You know, got a lot of excitement with the Bills up here in Central New York. There's a lot of Bills fans, and when they're playing like this, even more come out of hiding. So you could definitely feel the anticipation for this game. You can feel the momentum that this team is gaining up here. But it's going to be a tough game. You know, Pittsburgh has looked a little weak lately, as you've said, and you've tried to guide me off of them as much as I wanted to stay on them. And, you know, I finally got burned this the other night, but it's okay. They've won me far more than they've lost. So, you know, I think Bills are a good pick, especially, you know, especially at home. As far as, you know, you liked the Green Bay-Detroit over, and just to talk about that game, it's a lot. But, man, Green Bay's defense is bad, and Detroit's defense is absolutely awful. So I think that's got a shot. I don't know if I'll play it. Maybe I'll tease it down. I don't know. But that could be the shootout of the week. And then, you know, if you're looking for clown car games, you know, we mentioned one there. Denver at Carolina is another one I think I would just stay away from, because that could just be a mess right there. Same with Dallas at Cincy. Not feeling anything good about that matchup. And, of course, I do think New Orleans and Philadelphia will be interesting. I'm not sure that making a change at quarterback is going to suddenly solve all of Philadelphia's ills. It's probably not. It's going to help that Hurts is more more mobile, because Philadelphia couldn't protect Wentz worth a shit. And to tell you the truth, Wentz, you know, you say Wentz is shot. I think Wentz has been shot ever since he went down with the knee. I don't think he's ever been the same since he tore up his knee there. And it's a shame, because I think he was on track to be something pretty good. But I almost think the window for that is closing. It's, as you said, his mechanics are bad. He's getting hit a lot. He's throwing to people no one's ever heard of, which, you know, that's not his fault. That's the front office. But, yeah, I think the window for Carson Wentz, at least in Philadelphia, is kind of getting closed up here. And we may have seen the end of that era. But we'll see how Hurts does. If he falls flat on his face, then what do, you know?
I don't know. It's a fascinating thing, but it's certainly their best upside right now. So, I think this will be a very interesting week. And I really do think that those upsets could come. I think we've already highlighted a few of them. So with that on the table, should be a fun weekend, and we'll have a good gander at that. So onward we go. We go into the college game. And again, just like the last 3 weeks, I don't have a lot to talk about, except for one game. And the one game was tremendous, but it also was an indicator that these guys are not, especially BYU, between BYU and Coastal Carolina, BYU is not a national championship contender. So if nothing else, we finally got a chance for BYU to get tested. They got tested. They lost. And it wasn't even to a team like Washington, a Power 5 team. Well, the Shants, yeah, the Shants got it done on their home field, and got to give them a lot of credit. It was a fun game, but at the same time, it proved that, you know what, these guys are probably not going to end up doing much in a bowl scenario. So at least we got some clarity in that regard. Let's go back to John. I want to get your look at last week's action in college football. I mean, that pretty much was the only game that I could really think of that was a standout.
Yeah, Dave, you're completely right. I'll mention two games. I'll get to the Coastal game in a minute. But first, you're completely right. Like, there's no need for them to do these playoff rankings every week. Every year, like, why do they do this show every year? It's Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and then a random team that's having a great year. That's the playoff every single year. Like, what? Why do we bother with this charade every year? It's ridiculous. I mean, there's just no – for us that really enjoy, like, the smaller conferences and – story, like other stories, that we love college football, but it's just for the casual fan, it's just the same thing year in, year out, year in, year out. And honestly, it's not going to change until there's change with the, like, with coaching, with Dabo Sweeney or Nick Saban leaving their respective teams. I don't see any of that changing. So it's kind of sad. But so I'll talk about two games before I get to Coastal. Let's talk about what happened on Friday night between Appalachian State and Louisiana. If you guys watch this game, quite possibly the most bizarre game I've seen in years. So it was basically played in a monsoon. So the Louisiana punter, or long snapper, excuse me, on punts, sent four snaps directly over the punter's head. And one of them was returned for a touchdown by App State early in the game. But I had the game on mute, so I had no idea what they called some sort of unnecessary roughness penalty on App State, which wiped out a touchdown, yet somehow possession changed and App State got the ball on their own 30. It was the most ridiculous, bizarre thing I've ever seen. I still have no idea how that happened. But anyway, that wasn't the crazy thing that happened. So late in the game, the score is 24-19, Louisiana. They're trying to run out the clock. There's about 2 minutes left. App State has one timeout left. It's fourth and two on about their own 35-yard line. Obviously, I just mentioned the problems they were having with their punter. So, all right, they bring their quarterback out. Like, all right, they're going to go for it. That's a reasonable play. I mean, the conditions are awful. You've had the issue with your snapper. That's fine. So they put the quarterback in a shotgun formation. It's like, all right, well, maybe they'll do a pooch kick with the quarterback. We see this every week in college football. So the ball is snapped. The quarterback runs straight backwards 40 yards into his own end zone and takes an intentional safety to make the game 24-21 and So they take the safety and kick the ball back to Appalachian State to give them a chance to tie with 2 minutes left, and they have one timeout. That's the most boneheaded coaching decision I think I've ever seen in years of watching football. I could not believe he did that. And he got bailed out because the kicker missed from like 20 yards. You know, he just completely shanked the kick. I mean, the weather could have had something to do with it. I don't know. So, they're actually lucky they didn't score a touchdown too, because there was a pass interference. If it was the NFL, it would have been on the 1 yard line. But instead, it was like a 15 yard penalty, and that's how they settled for like a 25 yard field goal. It was just the most bizarre thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm trying to look for an explanation of why he did it. And sure enough, Billy Napier, the Louisiana coach, was in discussions with South Carolina for their head coaching job. And I think South Carolina saw that and completely took it off the table because they didn't hire him. They hired Frank Beamer's kid. He's some special teams.
Shane Beamer, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to work out well for them. But, you know, I just could not believe that Napier did that. And I still had no words. And as someone who took Appalachian State, that was one of my picks. It was completely dead. And it had a chance to win. And if I was on Louisiana and had lost that game, I would have just gone completely berserk. But so that was the first game I have to mention. And then obviously the Coastal Carolina BYU game. BYU was obviously clearly overrated from the schedule they played. And they finally played someone decent, and then they got punched in the mouth, basically. I mean, Grayson McCall really didn't do much. Again, he probably threw for, 150 yards maybe. But they were extremely efficient with their running game. Like every play it was – 4 yards on first downs, 4 yards on second down, 5 yards on third down. They were almost running like the triple offense, like the armed, military schools do. It was incredibly effective, and their defense made plays when they had to, and just a great win for Coastal Carolina. And unfortunately, they're probably going to be left out of a New Year's Six Bowl, which really sucks because Cincinnati is in line for that right now, assuming they beat Tulsa in the AAC title game, which it's not a given. I mean, Tulsa has a great defense, and they could play that game close, but and possibly win. But Coastal Carolina is probably going to be left out, unfortunately. And honestly, this year, like put them in there. Like, who cares about seeing like Indiana and Texas in the Fiesta Bowl? Like, that's like I don't want to see that. Or like Georgia, Indiana, or Georgia, Iowa State. Like, no one wants to see that. Like, give us something different this year. Put Coastal Carolina in the New Year's Six. Put Cincinnati in the New Year's Six, and get rid of these teams. And another thing, the committee like is extremely overrating the Big 12. Remember the first week of the season when the Sun Belt just kicked the Big 12's ass? Like, did we all forget that happened? It's just like they completely have no memory of Louisiana beating Iowa State, Coastal destroying Kansas. Who ends up beating Louisiana, who beat Iowa State, and Arkansas State beat Kansas. So, I mean, it's just if this year proved anything, it's that the non-Power 5 schools are not going to do anything in the current format, which is truly sad. And then one last point. So that game was literally scheduled in 2 days. Like, they scheduled it on Thursday, and then they played the game on Saturday. So I don't want to hear again about, like, you know, oh, they schedule these things so far in advance. What college football should do is – all right, you have your rivalry game in a normal year, obviously. You have your rivalry game on Thanksgiving. Push the conference title games back to this weekend, and then leave the first weekend of December open to, like, a national – call it, like, a bowl buster weekend or whatever, and just match up all sorts of different teams from different conferences. And you could have an amazing weekend of college football with meaningful games for everybody. And, it would provide clarity on the playoff situation. It would just be an amazing television product to put on, and it would just be tremendous. And then you could do the return game next, like the following season, as a non-conference game, like early in the season. So say it was like Texas A&M and Ohio State, for example. They were kind of talking about that today, but it'd be a possibility. Just say that was your bowl buster matchup. You could play the reverse, whoever hosted this year would be going on the road for the matchup next year, and it would be an amazing day. And it will never happen. They used to do something similar with college basketball. If you remember, like 10 years ago, they had like Bracket Buster weekend when they matched up mid-majors, and they should do the same thing for college football. But it'll never happen because we have the same stupid system that they're never going to expand. But those are the two games I wanted to talk about. There's literally nothing else to mention. I mean, it's the same standing as we were last week.
I did forget to bring up the Indiana upset of Wisconsin. That was ridiculous. But I don't know if that says more about Wisconsin or Indiana at this point. I mean, that... what is the Big Ten anymore? Like, the Big Ten announced today that they dissolved the requirement to play six games in order to qualify for the Big Ten championship game. I think this is a good decision, but it does further highlight how absurd this entire season has been. But I'm glad they did it. I'm glad they did it. Ohio State did what they had to do against Michigan State. Yeah, good job out of them, I guess. But yeah, I mean, I kind of just felt the same. It really was like the Coastal game really was the only game that I felt like was a good game. Because even the Indiana win, that was a miserable game. Did you see that score? I'll show it again. It was like 14-6. That's ridiculous. So let me go over to Ron. Let's get your recap of last week.
Yeah, I mean, you guys hit the nail on the head. I mean, there really wasn't much to talk about. But, you know, yeah, the Coastal and BYU game was definitely fun to watch. And like John, I was tuned in on Friday night with that Louisiana-App State game. That was crazy, too. I mean, you know, and I don't know, you know, I'm into, like, all the Friday night games on ESPN. And I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but the broadcast team that they have for those Friday night games, it's somebody and Andre Ware. And boy, you know, I want to really enjoy like Andre Ware. Like he was like one of my favorite college players growing up. I mean, he just would throw for like 500 yards a game, you know. He had a shitty pro career, but, you know, whatever. So I really want to like enjoy him on the broadcast, but he is like Booger McFarlane level, just awful. At least that's like my opinion when I'm watching it. I mean, like simple things like, a guy like, you know, kneels to run the clock out and he's like, well, I don't know if that's going to gain him a yard or not. That's pretty bold strategy. You know, it's just like, it's awful, awful, awful takes, but you know, that's besides the point. That's what I have to look, you know, that's what I can discuss about college football is how bad the Friday broadcasters are. But I'll give you, you know, there was nothing really else to talk about, but I'll give you my bad beat of the week. I had like my new theory is like, just we've seen the how much better the top teams are than everybody else this year. So I went with five favorites to cover in a parlay last week. I went Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Iowa, and Florida.
Ooh.
So I hit all four of them. Florida's winning 31-13 with like 2 minutes left. They have the ball inside of Tennessee territory. I mean, they can, you know, Kyle Trask is going for the Heisman. Let the kid run up the score. Any other year they run up the score, they run it, you know, to kill the clock, punt it back to Tennessee, who's on like their third string quarterback, and they end up scoring a touchdown with 20 seconds left. Completely, so Tennessee covered, completely killed my parlay. I was livid. I will never bet Florida again in my life to cover. Just an awful, awful feeling.
That's a terrible beat. It made the bad beat segment on Scott Van Pelt Sports Center. Like that was ridiculous.
Did it?
Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was like at the end of the game, and that was one of my picks too. So that's why I'm 2-2 and not 3-1 this week because of that game. Unbelievable.
You know, and the like two plays before they scored the touchdown, the Tennessee quarterback threw it and it like bounced off a couple hands and it was right in the Florida guy's cornerback's hands and he dropped it. You know, and I told myself, that's all right, you know, they'll never score on this defense. And then two plays later, that was a bad Saturday night.
I feel that. It's been a frustrating year.
Similar thing with the Auburn-Texas A&M game, if you guys were watching. I had Auburn plus 6.5, and it was like 20-17 Auburn was winning, and A&M was going in for a touchdown, and Kellen Mond literally throws it right in the guy's hands. It couldn't have been an easier interception for the Auburn defender. Oof. and it goes off of his hands into, and A&M catches it for a touchdown. And I knew the bet was done after that. And Auburn didn't move the ball an inch and didn't stop him after that. And A&M ends up covering. That was a rough one, because if they didn't make that interception, they're at least going to get a little momentum, run the clock off. And, you know, that was a rough one. So that was kind of the start to the day that I was not hoping for.
Chris, do you have any bad beats to nominate for the weekend?
Well, I was on the, you know, sorry, John, but I was on the good side of that one with A&M. But I guess my bad beat would have been the Oklahoma State TCU over 51.5. And how many opportunities do you need to score one more goddamn time? They had enough, and just so frustrated to watch drops and picks. It was just a nightmare, and they had plenty of time. So that would be my bad beat. I'm going to go back to the Friday night game as well. And I'm thinking, and I'm looking at the score, and I thought when it was fourth down, and I said, no, unfortunately, 2 points would take it to 3. If it would be 4 or more, I'd just run back and take the safety. And then I watch him run back and take the safety. What are you doing? It's a field goal. And you know, he got bailed out. But it was in the back of my head, and I'm thinking, you know, I wouldn't let the kid snap another ball, but you know, if it was just going to bring it to 4 or 5, just take the safety. They're going to need a touchdown anyway. And what, there was a minute and change left, 2 minutes left, something like that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't much.
Yep. Look at that. So anything as far as the rest of the schedule you wanted to add? I mean, again, this is a Sheeran weekend, so there's nothing. You don't have to.
Well, I mean, a little bit. I guess it was a little surprising watching Oklahoma struggle so bad with Baylor. I know Baylor's defense has been pretty good, but it's Oklahoma. They should be scoring 50 every game, no matter who they're playing. So that one did surprise me a little bit. And can we just mention, and I mean, it's as Sheeran gets, but the Pac-12, what the hell is going on out there? People actually thought Oregon was a good team and thought Washington, they thought these were good teams coming in. Oh my God, you lost to Cal. Cal!
Yeah. That's rough. All right, so.
Dave, what's going on with, like, you know, Colorado and USC should play for the Pac-12 title?
I completely agree with that.
Why even get the North involved? Like, every other conference is completely changing the rules. Like, they had their game canceled. They're clearly the two best teams. Let them play. Like, who wants to see a 2 or 3 loss Oregon or Washington team in the Pac-12 title game? Who cares? Like, every other conference is making shit up as they go along. Might as well just play Colorado and USC next week.
I completely agree with that. I think you saw the flexibility from the Big Ten earlier this afternoon, and I think the Pac-12 needs to step up their game and do the same thing. There's no reason to not have Colorado in that championship game. It's just a weird year. Like, they're only playing, at best, they're playing 6 games. At best. And a lot of teams aren't. I mean, like you've mentioned, Colorado and USC had the game against each other canceled. I mean, come on, guys. Like, this, make it happen. I completely agree. Completely agree. Okay, let's see. We are done with the recap. Let's go to the featured games. And again, technically there aren't any, but I decided to put these up anyway because there could be sneaky games. Notice that they're all on ABC. If you're watching on YouTube, you'll see it there on the screen. Number 11, Oklahoma against West Virginia at noon on ABC. Leave it on ABC because coming up at 3:30 right after the game, you got a pretty good shootout between number 17, North Carolina and Sam Howell, and number 10, Miami and Derek King. If you don't get anything else from this game, you're probably getting some points. So that's a pretty fun matchup. Coming up at 3:30. It's not going to mean anything, but it'll be a fun matchup. And then at 7:30 on the featured game, I would assume that Fowler and Herbie are doing this one. Number 15 USC against UCLA. You know what? I don't think anybody on this panel thinks that USC has this thing cinched at all. UCLA has been playing better this year anyway, so that could be a very sneaky game. I don't know what to make of the Pac-12. I think you guys are right. It's just been a complete disaster. Too much chaos there. Michigan and Ohio State's canceled. There is no Michigan-Ohio State game. We all called that a week ago on the program. So, John, I'll give it back to you. Let's get your look at this week's action.
Oh, Dave, I got nothing. It's a horrible week. I mean, I think Andy said it best last week. It's inventory. It's TV inventory. There's nothing. We're going to sit there from 12 to 12 or, you know, whatever, and bet on some of these games and have some parlays going. But in terms of, like, discussing this for any kind of implications, it means nothing. These games mean nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's some teams that are trying to play their way into conference title games and whatnot, and those will be interesting. And I agree with you. The USC-UCLA game, at least it's a rivalry. You'll have some juice because the teams probably don't like each other. And, you know, but other than that, I mean, there's you're right. The North Carolina-Miami game probably will have a bunch of points. Army-Navy is on, so we can watch that. That's always a good game to get into. Obviously, it would usually be a standalone game, but because of the pandemic, all of these games have been, pushed back to this week. But, there's nothing going on here that even needs to be discussed. And honestly, why is Alabama even playing at Arkansas? Like, what did they gain from playing that game? The SEC should have just done what they did with the ACC, just cancel that game. I mean, who cares? Like, do you really want to get, like, Mac Jones or these other guys hurt? It makes no sense to me that they're playing that game. And same thing with LSU in Florida. Just cancel it. Just go to the SEC title game next week. This whole year has just been so bizarre. And, Michigan is probably happy that game isn't being played, honestly. That would have been 65-3.
I don't know with that defense, though, John. Like, the Ohio State defense is not.
Have you seen the Michigan offense? It's bad, man. It's bad.
All right, let's go back over to Ron. Again, if you have anything to add, I go ahead and feel free.
Yeah, I got nothing, Dave. I mean, it's, it is what it is. Maybe Coastal Carolina in a trap game against Troy. I mean, Troy's not that bad. Besides that, it's, John's 100% right. Like, some these games are so sure now. Just cancel the SEC games and move on to the title game. I mean, do we really need to see Alabama winning 55-7 against Arkansas? I mean, but who knows? Maybe Saban takes it easy, knowing that the SEC title game's there. That might be a.
Yep.
I think that the spread is like 33.5. Maybe that's you feel there's some opportunity there for Arkansas to sneak in and cover that. I don't know. I'm reaching for straws.
So these were the games that were postponed from earlier in the season that the SEC is playing right now?
Yes.
No.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I believe that's right.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, right. LSU in Florida was postponed. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know. How the hell is Missouri in the top 25? That's just completely mind-blowing. Yeah. Missouri, they beat Arkansas by 2 points. Oh, let's put them in the top 25. I mean, this committee, like, this is a complete disgrace.
It's absurd. It just, this entire season has been, it's just been a joke, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I just can't feel, I'm not getting the juice from the college football playoff.
Listen, and this is my idea, and I know, like, it would never, ever happen, Dave. And I mean, for a million different reasons, but this year is so weird. I would love to see, like, the playoffs, like the 14 playoffs, be Alabama, whoever wins, Clemson and Notre Dame, and Coastal Carolina and Cincinnati. I mean, just go balls to the wall weird this year. Nobody's watching, all sports ratings are down as it is.
Right.
So it's not like sticking friggin' Notre Dame in there is going to make some money. Like, half the country is going to turn on their TVs and watch, Notre Dame and Ohio State in the, the Rose Bowl. It's just not going to happen. Just make it as weird as you friggin' want it to be. And at least give us some, us diehards, some juice, something to look forward to. Like John said, every year it's Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, and whoever the flavor of the month is. Just, throw it all out the window and just, call this year what it is, which is like just, a friggin' oddity, and, just play it that way.
That sounds like an awesome idea. Every other sport's done it too. I mean, the NFL's adding seeds to their playoffs. Baseball added a bunch of seeds to their playoffs. I mean, what's the big deal at this point? You got nothing to lose. So I completely agree. For the record, the Arkansas point spread is 32.5 points. That's a lot of points. Mm. Yeah. But they are at home. So we'll get into that, I guess. Let's see. Did I go to you for the this week's action segment? I guess not. So anything to add to this?
No, you didn't. But I mean, what am I going to say? I mean, mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to just because it's a Saturday and it's going to be college football and we're going to be watching it and betting on it. You know, maybe some juice with USC, UCLA. UCLA, I've been on the bandwagon since they started. Been a bit of a cash cow there. Very, very happy with the results. I think you'll see a good shootout with the Miami-UNC game. And if you want to really reach for a sharing game, Friday night you have the 5-1 Nevada Wolfpack or 6-1 Nevada Wolfpack taking on the 5-0 San Jose State Spartans, who have also been a cash cow for me. I think they're both pretty good teams. I know it doesn't mean shit, but you know, I'm excited to watch that game late on Friday night. I think it'll be at least a quality game.
Mm-hmm. I'll say this. The Mountain West, I've gotten more from the Mountain West this entire season than anything in the ACC or the Big 12. I barely even remember the Big 12 games. They're so bad. Like, it's just so many shitty games in that conference. So give me Mountain West all the time over them.
It's been a little bit fun.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've seen train wrecks. I mean, remember when they flexed the one game between San Diego State and I think it was Nevada to the actual SEC on CBS time slot? I mean, that was terrific. It was a good game, too. So more of that, you know. That's my feeling. All right, let's go to the picks. And we'll start with Ron's picks. Ron, you have the floor for the Week 14 NCAA picks.
All right, Dave. I'm going to continue to ride the favorites who were favored big. I'm going to go Oklahoma -13.5 over West Virginia. I think Oklahoma bounces back. Baylor has a good defense. West Virginia really doesn't. So I'll say Oklahoma covers that. And my second game, I'm going to go Iowa over Wisconsin. It's basically a pick 'em. Iowa's +0.5. I'm going to take Iowa to win outright. I've been burned by Wisconsin a couple times this year. They just their offense is just dog shit. Their quarterback Mertz looks lost out there, and if there's one lock, you know how like the old school gambling guys that would do the lock of the week, bet your mortgage on it. Bet your mortgage on the under in that Iowa Wisconsin game. It's 41.5. I see like a 13-10 type game. Both offenses struggle. So that's my little extra tidbit for the week. But I'm taking Iowa +0.5 and Oklahoma -13.5.
All right, thanks for the picks, Ron. I have this idea. Let's see what you think of it. Okay, so you can take that, right? Say you teased it with the Army Navy under. So it was 39. So you can add another 6. So it makes it 45. So then you add 6 to this game, and that makes it, let's see, 47. Yeah, okay. So 47.5 or more or less. And then what's the other game that's always good for an under? I think it's like a San Diego State game. So who are they playing? Let's see. Let me see. They got BYU. Ooh.
They play BYU.
I don't know about that. I'm going to do that one. But maybe you do, you know, because like this might be the best defense that BYU have played so far.
Oh, yeah, if you tease that to 55, I mean, San Diego State, their offense is horrible. I would say under tease those three. That's a pretty good looking parlay.
Yeah, I like this. I think that's the teaser. So you go Service Academy game, Army Navy, San Diego State, and then Ron's pick of the Big Ten game with Iowa. I love that a lot. That's a good one. Okay, so let's go continue with the picks, and we go to Andy. And I will tell you right now, one of these picks that Ron made is going to be very popular, and the pick is Iowa, a pick 'em, as Andy has texted to me, against Wisconsin. And Iowa and home tends to be a pesky team against whoever. But against a struggling Wisconsin team that just came off of a bad loss, who really hadn't been looking that good since the COVID infections. I mean, I completely agree with Ron's analysis in that one. Game two for Andy. He's going to take Cal, giving 2.5 at Washington State. And that guy Rolovich, he's a clown, so I don't argue that either. So Andy's picks are Iowa, Pick'em, and Cal giving it 2.5 for the merciful end of this college football season, week 14. All right, so now to my picks. All right, so let's look at it. All right, so this is going to be a triple checker on a checker. I'm taking Iowa as well in the pick'em against Wisconsin. Pretty much all the same stuff as that both Ron and I said earlier. That's game number one. Game number two. Well, I knew the point spread of the Arkansas game because I'm taking them. So we're going to go Arkansas getting 32.5 against Alabama. Ultimately, I believe this is wishful thinking, but maybe there's enough garbage time. And I don't know, Felipe Franks might get in on the backup of the backup defense of Alabama late in the game and make that thing a little more interesting for all of us. But obviously, for the purpose of it, of winning the game, they have no shot. And I would probably not expect that. But I think they can cover. So Iowa Pick'em and Arkansas plus 32.5. Week 14. All right. Now to John, and we're ready for your picks.
I cannot believe Andy took the Big Ten game, and especially that Big Ten game. Now, that surprises me. I'll have to text him about that one. But in any event, all right, so we'll get to my picks here. We'll start off in the MAC, and we will take Ball State minus 2.5 against Western Michigan. The winner of this game will play Buffalo in the MAC title game. I just like the way this Ball State team has been playing lately. They had a rough loss the opening night of MACtion to Miami of Ohio, but since then they've been playing great. They just rolled Central Michigan on their last game, and their offense is rolling right now. And Western Michigan has kind of struggled. They just had a outright loss to Eastern Michigan as 2-touchdown favorites. Their defense isn't very good. So we'll take Ball State at home, getting under a field goal here with the minus 2.5 to win this game and get to the MAC title game. So that's pick number one. And then pick number two, I love the Coastal Carolina story, but I think I got to fade them here with this spot. I mean, it's the letdown spot of all letdown spots coming off that win against BYU. And it's a sandwich spot because they play Louisiana, ranked Louisiana again in the Sun Belt title game next week. So Troy's not that bad. I mean, their defense is okay, and I think they can stop Coastal Carolina just enough to hang within this spread. And this essentially is probably like their bowl game because of the limited bowl spots. They're probably not going to go to a bowl game this year. So you know, this is it for them. So expect their best effort and just a huge letdown game for Coastal Carolina. So give me Troy with the points plus 14. And Ball State minus 2.5 is the other selection. And both of these games are on ESPN Plus. I cannot believe they're burying Coastal Carolina on ESPN Plus. What a joke that is. But in any event, that's what we'll go with for this week.
All right. Thank you, John. Yeah, they're starting to slowly sneak more of those games on ESPN Plus. And it's just greed in action, really. It's a bummer. All right. Chris in Syracuse, we have you ready to go. And we're ready for your college football picks.
All right, well, I guess we'll put another checker on the checker because we're going to go with Iowa in the pick'em.
Nice.
Wisconsin has scored a grand total of 13 points in the last two games combined, and if you think they're doing much better against the Iowa defense, you're just wrong. This could very well be a messy under as well, but, you know, Iowa, you know, they started slow. They lost their first two games. They haven't lost since. And Wisconsin is just an abject mess. So we're going to go with the Iowa Hawkeyes in a pick'em. And game two, we are going to go with the Houston Cougars minus 3 over the Memphis Tigers. Memphis has played 10 games. They have beaten the spread one time. That's all I really got about that game.
All right.
I know Houston's not that good, but, you know, like I said, I'm looking at it. Memphis just doesn't cover. Mm-hmm. And I don't see why the trend would suddenly, you know, come back this week.
Okay. Would you take Houston at 4.5? Because the consensus column says 4.5, and 3 is a bit of a deviation. I can meet you halfway at 4.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, we'll go with 4. All right, so thanks for the picks, Chris. And everybody, good luck on all the scenarios this weekend. I mean, certainly Iowa's very popular this week. I mean, that's probably the most we've ever picked Iowa. I mean, most of the time we're fading them, so that's just remarkable. Hopefully it pays off for all of us. So it gets us to final thoughts, and really it's really quite a it's been a how do we say it? It's been wild, yeah. And I think it's in the NFL side, we certainly are prepared for a really cool run. But on the college side, it does feel like there's a real play out the string element to the last 2 weeks. So final thoughts, and well, actually, I'll swing it over to Ron, and let's get your final thoughts for the evening.
Yeah, you know, I'll be into the NFL this week. I look forward to that. Like you said, I mean, we're in it, you know, this year, the entire year feels weird, but I mean, we're in, you know, the playoff crunch time. You know, it gives you something to look forward to. You know, like we mentioned, there's a few games this week that directly impact the playoffs. So at least, you know, there's still some juice there. You know, I know not so much with the college football, but at least, you know, it's somewhat being played. And you know, we have the NFL to fall back on. And I, like always, I look forward to it.
For sure. Now let's get our final thoughts from John in Connecticut.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I've been looking more forward to the NFL the entire season, and it's because my NFL picks have been much better than my college football picks. But yeah, I mean, the championship weekend next week should be amazing. So let's not completely shit on college football. I mean, it'll be good next week, but these last few weeks have been rough. And but I mean, again, it's better than nothing. So we'll take what we can get. And the NFL, yeah, the NFL should be great. And I'll mention, we had talked about this pool that me, Dave, and Andy are in that I organize, and we are all in position to potentially win our – it's broken down into divisions, 4 people in each division. We're all in position to potentially win our divisions and clinch playoff spots as we head into the playoffs for my Pick'em League. So very exciting stuff, and it's just another reason to enjoy the NFL on Sundays, Mondays, Tuesdays, whenever the hell the games are played. It certainly makes it a lot of fun, and I love doing the league, and I'm glad you guys got in it this year.
Thank you so much for setting it up and inviting both Andy and me to be a part of it. I know Andy was already in it, but being in the mix with you guys was really a lot of fun. So I look forward to the weekend, and hopefully we all can take it home. I'd love to see us as division winners. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Thank you, John. Okay, so let's go to Chris, and let's get your final thoughts.
Looking forward to the weekend. I've been looking forward to football every weekend because we actually have football to watch, which I think is probably the most important thing I can take from it. You know, we'll get around the TVs and we'll watch the games. Yeah, college is a little underwhelming right now. NFL should be good. You know, that was quite a list of impactful games you had up. Mm-hmm. I just want to say thanks for having me on, and good luck to everyone's picks. And, you know, that's all I got for that.
Cool. Well, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate you jumping on Zoom. It's kind of neat to see your Zoom debut, and glad to have you with us. And so, guys, have a good rest of your weekend. Enjoy the lead up to the holidays and all the football that goes with it. Should be fun. Take care, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, take it easy, fellas.
Good luck, everyone.
Thanks, fellas. Good luck. All right, that's our show. That's our panel. Thanks again, everybody, for doing their thing. It was good stuff. So I'm Dave Medina. We hope you enjoyed that program tonight. If you're looking for us, you can find us on the web at DidCow, DidCow.com, Twitter at Twitter www. Oh, Twitter is at DidCow. Facebook is just look for Dave in the City Out West. And in addition, we hope that you can look for us on Apple Podcasts by looking for Dave in the City Out West as well. If you don't use Apple, use the equivalent version of that on your mobile device and do so. We'll see you next time.